Johnny Cage.
High Mystery.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to High Mystery.
High Mystery!
This is the podcast where we smoke a lot of weed.
Yes.
And we talk about the mysteries of our universe.
Yes.
And today, yes. I'm Robert. Tomorrow?
Who knows?
Yesterday, I was still Holly. So hopefully, here's hoping.
I'm Tristan.
I'm the artist formerly known as Colin. I'll be moonlighting as the wet potato this month at the strip club.
That's a pretty sexy name. Next up, we got the wet potato.
If only you could see the way Holly looked at me when I said I would be dancing as the wet potato.
He's slimy. He's starchy. He's crispy when raw.
Good times.
Today, we're going to be smoking one of my blunts. It's packed in a high hemp wrap, a blazing cherry high hemp wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mixture of tangy and, what is that, chunky?
Chunky Jack. I got the California Dream Twisted hemp wrap, which I feel has almost like a cooling to it.
It's like a Cooler Ranch style.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
It's like a Baja Blast version.
A hint of the menthol. I don't know.
Interesting.
You know, like okay. It just has like that hint of coolness at the end. I don't know. Anyways, it's got the last of my chunky lights in there and some black caviar.
Oh, black caviar.
Well, we'll smoke yours afterwards because mine is blazing. It might burn and yours might cool.
Right?
Oh. Fire
and
ice.
Fire and ice, yeah.
It's like putting icy hot down your throat.
Soothe it.
Yes.
Really relaxes your throat.
So today, I'm going to be talking to you guys about the USS Nimitz UFO sighting.
Nimitz!
One of y'all Navy stories.
Nimitz sounds like the henchman to an evil genius. Come, Nimitz, we shall go and destroy humanity.
Yes, master.
So, it is kind of like a one of my Navy stories because it happened while I was in the Navy off the coast of San Diego, which is where I was stationed.
Yes, San Diego.
My ship went out with the Nimitz a couple of times, so...
You and the Nimitz were tight.
Yeah.
You go way back.
Cool. Yep. Cool.
You know Nimitz? You know Nimitz?
You don't know Nimitz like I know Nimitz.
I know Nimitz, bro.
I've been inside Nimitz.
Damn. All right, you win, dog.
In early November 2004, the USS Princeton had been tracking mysterious aircraft intermittently for 2 weeks off the coast of San Diego.
Now, Princeton, that sounds more like a butler. I'm the USS Princeton.
Yeah, it's a really lame name for a ship to be stationed on. I was the Lake Champlain, so.
So that's good.
Yes. Mm. It was after a battle. I don't know about the Princeton. Princeton might have been after a battle as well.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not impressed. I think they call them, like, the USS Bear Claw. USS Dragon Tooth.
USS Beefcake.
Yeah. How about just America? Fuck yeah on the side of the beach. Now we're talking. God damn, I'm getting excited.
Chief Petty Officer Kevin Day, stationed on the Princeton at the time, recalled that he first noticed clear radar traces of 8 to 10 objects around the 10th of November.
Mm-hmm. Clear radar traces. So they blipped?
Yep, and they were clear.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I wasn't a radar tech or anything, so I don't know.
Like clear as in it was clear. Like, not not that it was opaque, but it was...
like, official blips. Like, it wasn't, like, unknown, like, oh, was that a thing? It was official. It was,
yeah, because I imagine it probably did several sweeps, and it kept hitting
the same target.
Yeah, same target, so it wasn't, like, random malfunctions or
right.
something.
Oh, we picked up a buoy or something randomly.
It's
right.
coming in clear, Captain!
That's got it. Okay.
They were traveling south in a loose, fixed formation at 28,000 feet.
Hold on a second. Yeah, yes. What? Listen, guys, keep it loose, but I want it fixed and tight.
But maybe were, loose.
Yes.
That's but also like, fixed.
It's really contradictory. I don't understand. How
they were all
my boss.
Headed towards the same general direction, but they weren't flying in a certain pattern that stayed. So if they were like, say, a flying V of birds...
That would be
they,
a fixed?
Yes. Yeah, that would be a fixed formation. This was loose. They weren't like in that V-shaped pattern.
And that they're all just the flying around wherever we want, but loose.
Yeah, they're all going south to this one point. That's essentially what they mean.
Right. But these are ships, right? This isn't planes.
No, this is aircraft.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Sorry, I missed that.
So they were traveling at 28,000 feet. In the immediate vicinity of Catalina Island.
Oh. Right off the coast of L.A. Mm-hmm. Catalina Wine Mixer. The fucking Catalina Wine Mixer.
So clearly it was just celebrations for that.
Aliens heard. They were like, man, that Catalina Wine Mixer is something on Earth, huh?
They got an Airbnb. They went snorkeling while they were there.
They rode those little bikes that power you up the hill. You know the ones.
Chief Day was startled by how slow the objects were moving, only 120 miles per hour.
How fast do planes go? 200?
A lot faster. Oh, I mean, if they were jets or, like, you know, fighter jets or something like that, then they go a lot faster.
You break this sound barrier at like 500 miles per hour, right? And I know a lot of Navy jets are capable of breaking the sound barrier.
Yeah, they we had on our ship flybys from the people on the carrier because they had the jets. And they would do a flyover and you wouldn't even see them, you'd just hear them. Mm. And they were just right overhead.
Well,
yeah, so it was cool. Crazy.
But I mean, like for whatever that size, ship that is, it has to, you know, a smaller plane can go smaller, or it can go slower, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like a large plane has to go, what's that?
Big planes can go slow, too.
Yeah, they have the one that literally lifts off without any kind of runway or anything that literally hovers and then flies.
Mm, okay, yeah. Then why was it so weird that they were going so slowly then?
Just that they, you would think that, yeah, they were, if they were jets or something, if they were going to a destination, you don't go at 100, you know, that's
a
casual
walk
pace. To them, yeah. We're just basically sightseeing at that point.
They're basically falling at this point. Yeah. They're not like, they're barely flying.
And especially when they're only 28,000 feet off of the ocean. I think you have to maybe go faster if you're that low.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But
I guess, I mean, helicopters don't move that fast necessarily, so it could feasibly be human vessels.
Or a bunch of drones, or...
Yeah.
But these are big, so...
Big enough to hit the radar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Confirmation of these UFOs were made by other operators on other vessels. Regular observations were made of a similar number of objects over the following 6 days. The objects were also detected by an E-2C Hawkeye plane after the Princeton sent them coordinates.
Wow.
So
were people seeing saucers?
Right, has there been visual confirmation, and what are these objects?
So there is visual confirmation, and I'll get into the story of that.
Okay, all right.
So,
getting into the story,
gonna tell us the facts and figures.
Getting into the story.
On November 14th, 2004, an operations officer aboard the USS Princeton contacted two Boeing Super Hornet jets.
Ooh, not the regular Hornet, Super Hornet.
Super Hornet jets.
I want the Supers!
They were stationed on the USS Nimitz. and they were flying combat exercises off the coast of San Diego. Chief Day from the Princeton instructed the pilots to change their course and investigate the unidentified radar spot. This was done to determine if the objects posed any collision danger for an upcoming air defense exercise. The pilots were not carrying any operational weapons at the time. Weather conditions that day were blue, cloudless skies, and calm seas. When the jets arrived, the crew of four people saw nothing in the air or on their radar. Princeton's radar, however, noticed the object drop from 28,000 feet to near sea level in less than a second.
Whoa.
It's like a like the towers at Six Flags.
Tower of Terror.
Yeah. Way better.
The pilots looked down at the sea and noticed a turbulent oval area of churning water with foam and frothy waves the size of a Boeing 737 plane.
Ooh, so they have like an invisibility cloak thing going?
That's the idea.
Mm.
The oval had a smooth area of lighter color at the center, as if the waves were breaking over something just below the surface.
Hey, y'all, you looking at my smooth area?
A few seconds later, they noticed an unusual object hovering with erratic movements 50 feet above the churning water.
Oh, maybe they're like amateur pilots or something. They're having a little trouble controlling this ship. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Two brothers inside a spacecraft fighting over the controls. Yeah.
This object was later described by the pilots as a large, bright white tic-tac.
Yeah.
30 to 46 feet long, with no windshield, no portal, no wings, no tail, and no visible engine or exhaust plume.
Well, I mean, I guess if you have enough radar and like advanced enough cameras and stuff, why would you need any kind of outer, you know, shield or window or what have you? A white Tic Tac.
Yeah, a large white Tic Tac.
Look out there in the sky! It's a breath freshener!
The pilots began a circular descent to approach the object as the object began ascending along a curved mirroring the F-18.
Oh, they're checking you out.
Doing a little dance.
Making a little love.
They're getting down tonight.
Literally on the surface of the ocean.
The pilots made more aggressive maneuvers, hoping to fly below the object, but at this point, the UFO accelerated and went out of sight in less than 2 seconds, leaving the pilots, quote, pretty weirded out.
It just left like a cartoon dust pile behind it, like, too!
It was very Hanna-Barbera.
How many grinders are you going to drop today, Holly? How many grinders do you have?
Juggling, grinding.
Holly has 3 grinders in the studio.
Because I was scavenging for the leftovers. Oh, okay. I didn't... The long story, but
you
got
to do what you got to do.
I got it.
Okay, sorry.
Is it time?
Yes.
How are we doing on this?
Oh, yeah. No. There's not much more left. Today.
Time for blunt number 2.
Light that blunt. We haven't done one of those in a while. We're slacking.
we're just lighting them
like it's not even ceremonious or anything.
The two pilots began a new course to the combat air patrol rendezvous point. Within seconds, the Princeton radioed the jets, notifying them that the object had reappeared 60 miles away. According to popular mechanics, the object would have had to have moved faster than 2,400 miles an hour.
Are you saying
the distance reported?
These are like well-known mechanics or a magazine?
Popular mechanics. The publication, the monthly.
Y'all know Jim? Oh, man, who doesn't
so
know
popular.
Jim? That guy turns the car around like nobody's business.
Two other jets went to investigate the new radar location, but by the time the Super Hornets arrived, the object had already disappeared. The F-18s returned to the Nimitz, and one of the pilots reflected, "I have no idea what I saw. It had no plumes, wings, or rotors, and outran our F-18s. But I want to fly one."
Of course.
Did I mention I was pretty weirded out?
All I could think about was flying that Tic Tac.
Defense and security writer Kyle Mizukami suggested three possibilities that could explain the sightings. The first could be equipment malfunction or misinterpretation. The second could be classified government technology. The third would be an object of extraterrestrial origin. The New York Times, when reporting on the incident, included a disclaimer saying, "Experts caution that earthly explanations often exist for such incidents, and that not looking or that not knowing the explanation does not mean that the event has interstellar origins."
It also doesn't mean it doesn't.
Exactly.
Two sides to every coin.
But you know, these aren't like National Enquirer, this is New York Times reporting on it, and this is reported in like ship's logs and stuff. It's like the official report from these pilots. Like, we saw this thing, and we got four people that witnessed this, that I witnessed this, and people on multiple ships seeing it through their radar and everything. So,
I mean, it could be, like he was saying, the government special forces or whatever, just fucking with their own people to like see how A, their own forces handle it, and B, what it can do against like our superpower.
The thing that I wonder about that is like, if this is like government technology that we haven't released yet, this was back in 2004. So we haven't even come close to that in the last 15 years or so.
Well, what they've released.
Exactly. But yeah. I mean, we've only grown so incrementally over that time. We haven't been able to get near that. And that's 15 years old.
Well, you know why? It's because cell phones popped off so quick. And then everyone was like, "Oh, how did we figure out all this new technology so fast?" And they were like, "Oh, shit, we're letting shit slip too fast." We got overzealous with this cool technology, and people are calling us out on it.
They're onto us.
Right? God damn it.
We gotta keep them stupid.
I feel like there's way better technology than we even realize. Like, whenever I see something, I'm encouraged to believe that there's even more. Like, whenever I see that somebody... Have you seen the hoverboards?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Wait.
Legit flying in the air like Spider-Man hoverboards. Like the Green Goblin.
With the rotary...
Yeah, they're legit, like, you know, powered underneath their feet, and you can fly on them, and I don't know how else to tell you about
it's
it.
It's got, like, the drone rotary system.
Yeah.
And that's how you're getting the lift.
Absolutely. Because
there's other hoverboards where they were using that whole, like, reverse magnetism of, like, the reverse polarity, and you, like, freeze the one of the magnets with liquid nitrogen, and then like the frozen state of like the transfer of molecules can make it float, but you have to be like over a track.
I'm talking about the ones where you actually stand on and have lift. And anyway, the point is, when I saw that shit, I was like, this, that we have everything.
We can absolutely make.
We can teleport. We can time travel. There's a dude on a hoverboard. Everything we've seen in superhero movies, it exists.
I mean, yeah, they have the dudes who basically, they have wings on them, and then they have mini rockets, like, strapped to their arms and legs, and they're just, like, flying through the air, like.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen
one more
too.
Superhero do you get than that?
Yeah.
That's basically Iron Man status right there. Well, turbine jets propelling you through the sky.
And they have those exosuits that they're, like, trying to develop for the military mm-hmm. that, like, basically allow you to walk up a mountain with,
lift,
like, 500 pounds
incredible.
On your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just all kinds of different applications for that kind of technology. Helping people who are disabled, like, walk mm-hmm. again and, yeah, all kinds of stuff like that. Although I don't know if disabled is the proper term for it anymore. I'll have to look into that.
I think disabled is right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if it's differently abled.
Mm,
Could you say handicapped because they still use that for spaces?
Again, it's just something I'm not sure about, you know? So maybe I'll find out. Look it up.
If you're,
are you
if
not
you
allowed to say handicapped spaces anymore?
Yeah, like,
are
they?
It probably is. Handicapable.
Handicapable.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of these things sort of like thrown aside and sort of like assumed as if they're a joke, but they might actually matter to some people. I don't know.
Are you handicapable? Can you tell us? Comments in the sections. What are we supposed to be saying?
Yes.
Is it just paraplegic and then like
this just
get
comes
away
from
with
ignorance?
It?
Well, that's a very specific form of being disabled
sure,
handicapped.
But in terms of walking again, we're talking about
oh, as far as
just
these,
paraplegic people
this
walking.
Specific device helping.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, it probably matters, but I'm probably concerning myself way too much with it. The point is, superheroes exist in the world. Iron Man's out there, I'm sure. You know.
Yeah.
Iron Man's actually an autobiographical story. Tony Stark's a guy.
I mean, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that there's better technology that we aren't, you know, have access to.
Yeah, that's all I really meant
but
to demonstrate.
I think that the difference in quality of technology is not that far. Especially when you're talking about things that
publicly.
Can, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're talking about things that can travel 2,400 miles per hour. Yeah.
And when you're talking about essentially weaponry for the military, you're going to want to equip every ship with that ability if we have it. And then sell all our.
Or
you
you'll
know,
keep it as like a. Your
backup.
You know, your execute whatever secret plan. Yeah, that's hidden files for, you know, the step before nuking everybody.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a theory.
Yeah.
Maybe that it's a cryptid super whale. That he's an all white whale and he was like churning up the ocean and he can fly and teleport.
Yeah.
And what they described as a tic tac was just his white body seen from above.
Yeah.
You know, he's just an albino blue whale that can fly, teleport, and churn up water in interesting ways. It's a space whale.
It's a space whale.
Yeah, that's my theory.
There's big shit in the ocean, man. There's crazy shit down there. It's
right? Huge. But that is what, when you described, like, all the churning waters and then the flat, like, spot in the middle, all it made me think of was when we did go whale watching, whales have what they call their, like, footprint in the ocean. And it's that last push of water that propels them down into the water. And it leaves a big circle of, like, flat water where they push. And they call that the whale's footprint.
A smooth area.
Yeah, a smooth area. Like you talked about earlier. So that's what made me think of whales.
I mean, it could have been both a spaceship and a whale. It makes me think of Star Trek IV, where they had to get some whales and bring them back to the future. But otherwise, their world
like
would be
you
destroyed.
Do.
Well, when whales are extinct, you got to go back in time to get some whales.
Yeah.
You need whales.
So that we just saw a spaceship that's, you know, a couple centuries ahead of us,
mm-hmm.
kidnapping some whales to bring them into the future.
Do you reunite the mother with the baby? Is that what it was? That Star Trek episode?
I mean, it was the movie, but it was these space aliens that communicated with whales way back when, and they thought they were the only intelligent life and everything, and then we came over and destroyed all the whales, and they were going to destroy our planet because there were no whales on it.
Oh, right? God, I can feel my testicle shrinking. God. Holly, watch out, it affects ovaries too. Oh God, we'll never be able to procreate. Oh, Star Trek. Oh God. Oh. I'm just kidding. I love Star Trek. You know this. Rob really loves Star Trek though.
I think there is also, as a rebuttal, there's a Next Generation episode where they do something. It's not like space whales, but it is like space large creatures that are like kind of, they just don't look like whales, but they're space whales. And they have to like, yeah, return them around, like get them back, help the mother and child reunite or something.
Hmm.
Sounds really cute. I would watch it. Sounds like it could even be a Disney movie with a little bit of twist.
It was a very touching Next Generation episode. Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, Herbert? I can't find my mom. I'll write it. Don't worry.
She was killed by some space pirates.
Oh, no. This really is a Disney movie.
Yeah, mom's gonna die at the end. Or at the beginning, soon. Yeah. Or anywhere in between, really.
Inciting incident. Violence against moms.
Poor moms.
Poor moms.
The whole point is that turmoil can shape you into a better version of yourself. Through turmoil and perseverance comes evolution.
Hopefully you can do it without, too.
I'm just saying, most of the time, growth comes from... Oh no!
It's all good. That's why we have these blankets specifically.
Luke could not be bothered.
He's like, ugh, this is my nap, girl.
What were we talking about?
Space whales?
The Disney movie that would be. Oh, do you know why? Walt Disney,
yes.
Why they were so prominent in his stories, mothers dying.
Did his mother pass?
He bought a house for his mom when he started to have a lot of success, and there was an issue with the gas line, and it leaked into the house and killed her.
Oh, that's terrible.
And so he never really got over that.
I could see how there would be a lot of guilt attached to that. You know, it's the house that you got, and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so terrible. That's where it came from, I guess.
Does that house still stand?
I have no idea.
It was destroyed in an explosion.
I mean, yeah, I'm wondering if like he was like, tear that house down.
I
or if
he
bought it or sold it.
He turned it into the mystery mansion or whatever, the haunted mansion.
There was a house like I think in the valley or somewhere around here that they were thinking about tearing down, but then it was found out that Walt Disney, like, lived there or something when he created Mickey Mouse or whatever the case. And they said, well, we can't.
Yeah, it's historical site at that point.
Now. It's infested with rodents, though.
Exactly.
I love thinking of the spots in L.A. that they, like, might find out were historical that are, like, just the seediest, most disgusting parts. Like, oh, we can't tear down this part of the 6th Street Bridge. This is where Anthony Kiedis shot heroin for the first time. I don't know.
That's all. There can't be too many theories about this. It's clearly a UFO in a giant Tic Tac. We all know that to be the truth.
I like space whale. I'm just saying.
I'm back in space whale too. Space
It could also be like maybe some pterodactyls or something. Maybe that
there
could be
were
what
no
popped
wings.
Up on the radio. Oh no!
They,
wings.
No wings. No rotor. No plume. No nothing.
We
just
say
a Tic Tac.
We didn't say time travel yet, do we? I mean, could be just us for the future. Just come back to fuck with us.
And be like, oh shit, we're not supposed to be spotted. There's planes up there. Oh, Jerry, get us on.
Right?
Get us out of here.
Go down. We'll hide by the ocean. You'll never see us down there.
You idiot.
They're looking clear. Right at us.
They can see our thrust on the ocean, you idiot.
Give it. No, you give it. Stop.
The thing flies at 2,400 miles an hour. Just get out of here, you idiot.
Somehow peanut butter ends up on everything.
It's all over the controls. Why did you bring the dog? He's licking all the buttons. I love the sitcom Inside the White Bean that we just described. On another episode of Inside the White Bean, the boys from the team travel back to 2004 and almost get spotted by 2004 Earthers.
How them Duke boys gonna get out of this? All right, well, that's all the information I have about this. And let's not prolong this.
Yeah, just let us know what you think. And for High Mystery, I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Robert.
Bye. Thanks.